everybody, and welcome to episode 5 of the Homestead Therapy Podcast. My name is Cindy, and I'm your host. So welcome back, everybody. I know it's been a little while, and I apologize, but I've been having a little struggle lately. So when I started this podcast, one of the things that I promised myself was that I was going to be very open and honest and tell the good and the bad. And so I didn't want to just always tell you guys all the good stuff and the stuff that works. I wanted to tell you the stuff that fails and, you know, tell you about the bad stuff too, because I think that that is life. That is homesteading. That is just life in general. But I think that, you know, if you just always hear about the good stuff all the time, and you never know about the not so good stuff, then I just think it gives a real unrealistic view of you know how things work. So I have struggled with depression for many years. Probably I would have to say most of my life I have struggled with depression and mental illness. And so wintertime is always worse for me, and I know that it's because of the lack of sun. I'm a very outside active person. I like to be in my garden. I like to be outside with my animals. I like to be doing that sort of thing. And of course, when it's winter time, there is obviously no gardening, and you're not outside as much. And so I always struggle a little bit. So I try to just be gentler with myself, and you know, my family is wonderful. They all know when, you know, mom's having a bad day, and my husband is fantastic. You know, he'll run me a bath, he'll make me a cup of tea, just give me a hug if I need it, which is great. But in the last, you know, probably month, I have been struggling a lot with my depression, and I know that it's the weather. I know that it's because of the cold. I haven't been outside even as much as I normally am. So even though in the wintertime I'm not outside as much as in the summertime, I am outside some. And so, you know, my depression is controlled with medication, and I also take, you know, some herbs and some vitamins and some supplements, that sort of thing, and, you know, just some quiet me time sometimes. But I have noticed that because it has been so crazy cold, and we've been stuck in the house so much, that it has definitely been worse. And so as much as I really wanted to do another podcast episode, I just couldn't. I just did not have the energy or the willpower, I guess, or the will to do it. I needed to just take care of myself. And so I apologize for that, but I wanted to share what's been going on, because, like I said, I wanted to be honest, and I used to not tell people about my struggles with mental health. I used to hide it and be ashamed, but I think that now being open and honest and talking about it is good. It's better, because there are so many people out there that suffer from mental illness and suffer in silence and suffer quietly and alone because they are ashamed. And I think that the more we talk about it and the more we get it out there and the more that we share our feelings and our struggles, I think it helps other people to know that they're not alone. So so I am feeling a little bit better today. I started taking a little bit extra vitamin D, so I'm hoping that that'll help a little bit, just because I know that part of my problem is not enough sunshine. So today is still cold, but the sun is shining a bit, so I'm sitting in front of the big window soaking up some sun, working on my knitting today, because it has just, it has been so cold, and I apologize because I feel like all I do is complain about the cold, but y'all, this is ridiculous, like ridiculous. We live in the Canadian prairies, and so we are used to cold weather. We're used to snow and cold, but it's like we get cold, super cold weather for like a day or two or maybe a week, and then it's, you know, it's cold, but it's like bearable cold, so you can still go outside and do stuff and, you know, spend time outside without freezing your face off. This has been ridiculous ridiculous amounts of cold for like a month now. We have had an extreme cold warning on our phone, the weather app thing, every day, I think, for the last like month. The kids have had to miss school a few times, just because it is so cold. Like, it is over minus 40. It is ridiculous. And like, today has warmed up to minus 20. I think we're like minus 26 or something. It's crazy that we are excited that it's warmed up to that. Like, it is just ridiculous. I kind of am at the point where I want to just throw a ginormous temper tantrum. Like, stomp my feet, scream, jump up and down, because it is so aggravating to just not be able to go outside and to have it this cold for this long. And you have to put on 52 layers before you go outside, because things freeze. Like, the cold hurts your face. I know that there's always that little thing going around on Facebook and social media about, you know, why do I live where the air hurts my face? The air hurts your face, people. I'm telling you, it is cold. We've decided that we don't blame, like, the animals for going south, because this is a little bit crazy. You know, I have a friend who goes down to Arizona every year, and normally I'm like, you know, on the few days that it's cold, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of jealous, look at the nice sun. This year, I'm telling you, she's making, all posting all these pictures of her out in the weather and the cold and the whatever, and she's making it very hard to like her right now. And she knows I love her, but she's making it very hard to like her when she's posting all her happy, warm, oh, I got a sunburn pictures. I'm telling you, when we're all up here getting pneumonia and frostbite and hypothermia. And they're saying it's supposed to stay like this for like another month. I don't know if I can do it, y'all. I don't know that I can make another month of this. I may have a like temper tantrum. I'm not even going to lie. I told my husband, I was like, that's it. I think I'm going to have to just have a temper tantrum. I know it's not going to help anybody or make a difference, but it might make me feel better. So we'll see. But yeah, so that is where we've been at. So like I said, I'm feeling better today. I'm feeling a little happier today. So I'm hoping that I'm on the upswing, because nobody likes to just feel blah and depressed and sad and all the time. But that's where I've been. So we are hopefully back to, you know, to going, and hopefully it'll be nicer and we can just carry on. But this is like, this weather's getting a little bit much. All right, so let's get going on the rest of our episode here. All right, so in the last little bit, we got two of our pigs processed. So I know we had every hope and intention of doing them ourselves, and we had bought a meat saw. We were all set up ready to go, but our meat stores in the freezer were getting really severely low. Like, we had 6 packages of meat left. That was it. So with the cold, and it's just because it had been so cold, and, you know, like I had said before, we don't have anywhere to do our meat, so we have to do it outside for the most part. And with the cold, we just decided that it would be easier if we would just take it into the abattoir and let him process it for us these first two, just so we could get the meat. And so we still have 4 pigs left, and so they're not ready yet. They probably won't be ready for another little bit. So we're hoping that by the time they're ready, the weather will have warmed up some and we can do them ourselves. So we did, like I said, get the pork done, just not the way we wanted to, but we are really lucky. The abattoir that we deal with are really, really good. They're really super close. So I mean, it was good. It's just that we had hoped to do it ourselves to save the money, but we needed the meat, so it was a good trade-off. So yeah, we got those done. Like I said, the cold has been crazy, so we've been doing a lot of extra bedding of everybody, making sure everybody's got, you know, warm bedding, hauling warm water out for the animals just to give them warm water instead of just the cold, making sure everybody's got lots of extra food to keep warm. So we spend a lot of our time doing that. And then chopping wood, of course, and hauling wood into the house. You know, we haven't really done a whole lot because it's just been cold. So, I know, I keep saying that, but it's, we're so over the cold. So, on the upside, my Icelandic knit sweater is coming along quite nicely. I'm almost done. I had to rip it back like 4 times because I kept making a mistake in the pattern and would have to rip it all back and start again. But I am almost done. I did find another mistake in it, and I kind of feel like now I'm at the point where I'm just going to embrace the mistake, actually. I'm not even going to tear it back. I'm just gonna go with it. It's a tiny little mistake. I'm the only one that's going to know it's there. It's probably going to bug me because I'm kind of a perfectionist that way, but I don't even care. At this point, I'm over ripping back the sweater, and I'm just going to just embrace the mistake. So that is my goal, to get my sweater done this week, because with the cold, I could definitely use my beautiful merino wool sweater. So we do have a email set up now. So if you guys want to send us in any of your questions or comments, we would love to hear from you. So it is homesteadtherapy@mail.com. So super easy. And yeah, you can find us there and send us a little email and let us know how you're doing and what you think. And if you have any questions we can answer. And I would really like to thank one of my listeners, Angela. She sent me in some information about my struggle with my technical issues. So she had heard on the last podcast about how I was struggling with my technical problems. And so she sent me a little voice clip, and I apologize. I don't know how to send a voice clip back or how to reply. But yeah, everything that she said in there was exactly the problems I was having. And so I'm just going to follow her advice. And so far it seems to be working good. So thank you, Angela. That was really helpful. I appreciate it immensely. So because we processed the pigs, I made head cheese, or I tried to make head cheese. So, anybody who follows us on Instagram, that's where we do a lot of our updating of what we've been doing and pictures. So feel free to find us on Instagram, Homestead Therapy there too. But I tried to make head cheese. Now, I don't personally like head cheese, but my father-in-law loves head cheese. And I thought, you know, we got these pigs done. We had 2 pig heads. I'm going to use them because we're really trying not to waste any meat. So normally we would just not even bother getting the heads, but I thought, no, I'm going to get them and make this head cheese. Well, I don't know what I did, but it was, it was not good. We're not even sure. I don't know. I followed all the instructions, and it said that, you know, boil the head down and then take the meat off and, you know, pour the stuff on. And I did everything that the book said to do. And we basically ended up with fat. So there was like not much gel. It was just fat and grease through the whole thing. It was awful. And bless my father-in-law and my husband for trying it and just not even saying anything. Like, I am very much, I like constructive criticism. So, you know, if something's not good, I want them to tell me so that I can fix it or improve it or know or whatever. And they just said nothing. I think they're afraid they're going to hurt my feelings, which, I mean, it didn't hurt my feelings, but I was like so disappointed because I was so excited that I had made this head cheese and that it was going to be this wonderful thing, and it was really not. And so I felt so bad for them because I was like, so how was it? And they were like, well, you know, it was good-ish, but I didn't really care for it. And so I said, okay, well, what was wrong with it? And yeah, that's when they said it was kind of nasty. And so when I looked at it, it was very greasy. So I kind of did some research. I think I know what I did wrong, and I still have one more pig head in my freezer. I'm going to give it another shot, see what I can do. Hopefully, I figured out what I have to do. So, basically, I think what I did was I just boiled everything. And I, you know, peeled the meat off, chopped it up, put it in my pans, and then just, you know, seasoned with my herbs and salt, pepper, and that sort of thing. And then I just poured the juice or the what was left in the pot over top. And I think what I need to do, which is what the step I was that I think I missed. Wasn't in the book, but I think this is what I'm going to try, is to let it cool even overnight, the meat and your juice that you have, your broth, and then skim the fat off the top and then boil that down a little bit, what's left, to thicken it, and then yeah, pour that broth over top, and hopefully by doing that it'll take the fat out and then it will be much better. So that's my hope. So also with our pork, because we had the two pork, I have been rendering lard, and so I got all our lard rendered except for I think I have a bag of trimmings left to do, so, which is so nice because we were down to our last, like, I think we had a half a jar of lard left, and that was it. And I use lard for, like, everything. I use it for my bread, I use it for greasing pans, I use it for cooking in, we use lard for everything. So we were really getting desperate. So it's really nice to have the fresh lard and, you know, just even the fresh pork. Really exciting. My husband and our daughter so worked on a smoker and built a beautiful smoker. They did a fantastic job. It's gorgeous. They built the smoker and we tried our hand at smoking. So we smoked a side of bacon, and we smoked a ham, and we smoked ribs, and they were really good. The ribs and the bacon were a little bit salty, and so we're thinking that maybe because we put them in the brine with the ham and everything, and I'm thinking that maybe because they were smaller, we didn't need to leave them in quite as long as we did. So we're going to try that. Or I would like to try, I found a few different ideas for a dry cure. And so instead of soaking it in the brine for a couple days, we would just, you know, rub the stuff on outside and let it kind of soak in. So we're going to try that, I think, next time. So we really liked the meat and it tasted really good. You know, it was delicious. That wasn't a problem. It was just a little bit salty. The ham was really good. It was perfect. I think that next time, like I said, we're going to just tweak our curing a little bit. And I would like to try and figure out how to cure with celery seed or celery salt. I saw somewhere something about celery instead of like the cure that's got all the nitrates and that sort of thing in it. So I'd like to do a little more research on that, because of course I don't like a lot of, you know, the cured meats, and because of my liver disease, I can't actually have a lot of cured meat. So it'd be nice if we could figure out how to do it without that. So those are some things we're working on there. The smoker turned out amazing. It worked really well. We found a few little things that we need to tweak with that. So we are new to smoking. We have never smoked meat before, so we're learning. So if anybody has any tips or advice about smoking, we would love to hear from you. One of the things that we found with the smoker was when you were trying to smoke your meat and it is minus 97. Okay, well, it wasn't quite minus 97. It was like minus 45, which is pretty close to minus 97. I feel like when you get to over minus 40, it just, it doesn't matter. That number doesn't even matter. It is just cold. But anyway, when we got, while we were smoking, we were using a propane tank with a little burner with our wood chips on top. And so because it was so cold, the propane tank kept freezing up, and then it would stop. And so we were having a real struggle trying to keep the propane tank going. And so Colin figured out a way to kind of put it up against the smoker, not too close that it would be too hot, but enough that it would get the heat from there, and then wrap it in a blanket. And he, bless his little heart, he was out there babysitting that smoker for, you know, like 12 hours the one day. He was nearly frozen to death, but he was determined that we were going to have this beautiful smoked meat, and it turned out good. So, you know, in the end, it was good, but we have to figure out a little different way to smoke with either wood, just wood, or do something different with the propane so it doesn't freeze up. So we're kind of got to work on that. And we figure there's a few places that we think we need to maybe not let so much of the smoke out, like to hold it in a little bit more, so make it a little more airtight. So we left some spaces for, you know, airflow, but I think it was maybe left too much. So we're working on it and we're learning, and it's been a lot of fun. The kids have really enjoyed, you know, helping build and seeing the meat. So the next thing we're going to do is we have a lot of ground pork and we have a little bit of mousse left. So we are going to actually we're going to actually grind them together and make some sausage and smoke some sausage. And then we want to make a nice breakfast, like a maple breakfast sausage or something like that for, that we're, I don't think we're going to smoke the breakfast sausage. I think we're just going to make that and put it in the freezer. So we've got some ground meat left to do with that. So yeah, the last week and a half, 2 weeks has been a lot about pork. There's been a lot of porky stuff. But other than that, you know, we've been doing really well. Speaking of pork, the pigs, the four that were left, they have, so I think I told you guys that, you know, their pen area, they have, a smaller area. It's probably, I would say 50 by 50 ish. And I'm really bad with estimating measurements, but it's a good size area that is all pallets and enclosed, and it has like their little hut in it for them to sleep in. It's got their water and their food and all that in that area. So it's kind of more sheltered because of the pallets. So then there's a hole in the wall in there, and then they've got a big, huge area, and I couldn't even tell you how big it is because it's quite a good size, that we had fenced off with electric fence for them to go out and pasture. And so even with the winter time, they are still going. They are crazy, these pigs. Like, it was minus, like I said, 47 one day, and I could look down towards the pig pen, and they were still out running in the pasture area, running back and forth, chasing each other around like crazy. It was craziness. I personally would have just been snuggled up in my little hut, but they were all about the running. Anyway, we haven't had the actual electric fence on for probably, I would say, a good couple months, just because of the snow and the ice, and the cable that runs to the electric fence wasn't working. And so we had just unplugged it, and they were staying in there anyways. We were like, oh, this is great. They yesterday discovered that the electric fence was not working. And so when Colin went out to do chores, because I just was not feeling well, so he went out to do chores, the pigs were all up at the barn, just hanging out, waiting to see what was going to happen and checking out the world. And so he came in the house and was like, what am I going to do with these pigs? Like, how do I get the pigs back in? I had no great pearls of wisdom. Then I said, like, try and take, you know, a pail of chop and see if they'll just follow you in. Well, he didn't even have to take a pail. He said he went, walked out there, and they just all came running up to him and were like, hey, what you got, Dad? And he walked into their pen, and they just all followed him and went right back in. And then he, you know, gave them some scraps and some water, and they were happy. So it worked out well, but we were a little afraid that they were going to be wild pigs and we were never going to get them back in, but thankfully they actually went back into their pen. So we did that. Some exciting news is that I noticed today a couple of our goats. So we have 6 females and one buck. So we have 6 does and one buck. And I noticed that 2 of our does, two of our younger ones, are starting to make a little bit of a bag. So hopefully within the next, you know, 2-ish, 3 weeks, maybe a little longer, we should have baby goats, which I'm excited about, but at the same time, I'm a little concerned because it is supposed to stay cold for like the next month. And I really don't want frozen little baby ears again, because we had that last year and it wasn't even that cold. So we are going to have to bust our butts and try and get some sort of heated little goat box made for them, because yeah, I have a fear that we're going to have frozen baby goat ears because the cold. But it's exciting because we all love the baby goats. They have such personalities. And that also means that we are going to have milk again. Yay! Because I'm so tired of buying milk in the store. It makes me very sad because it just doesn't taste the same. There's nothing like your own farm fresh milk. So goat milk, it'll be so exciting. And Miss Maggie, she's supposed to be April 4th, so then we'll have cow's milk coming up. But yeah, goat milk is going to be fun. Some cheese, that sort of thing. We got actually a new yogurt maker. So I've always just made my yogurt in a pot on the stove and then put it, you know, near the wood stove or in a warm spot and let it sit. And it's been fine. We have had lots of yogurt. But I found on Amazon, actually, this really cool little yogurt maker that had 7 little cups with lids that I could make yogurt in. And I thought, you know, because it's been so cold, we've had trouble, you know, keeping things warm enough. And so I bought it and it worked really, really well. So I'm excited because I put the yogurt in, I make it in the little cups. And the nice thing is it's got the little cups with lids so the kids just take them to school or, you know, grab them for a snack. Even, you know, my husband, who is a yogurtaholic, has discovered, because of course I just make plain yogurt, he can take our homemade strawberry jam and mix it in there, and he has like strawberry drinkable yogurt stuff that he thinks is fantastic, which is great because it's good for him. So yeah, so that's been very exciting. With the kids, we have been trying to keep them busy just because of the ridiculous cold. They haven't been outside a whole lot. They've gone outside, you know, the days that it is a little bit warmer. And I mean, by a little bit warmer, I mean it's been like minus 27, minus 28, but that's still warmer than normal. We've been sending them outside even for, you know, a half an hour or so just to get some fresh air. So they've been playing outside some, making some snow forts. And in the house, we have been, you know, working on some crafts and working on teaching kids to knit and crochet and make bracelets and, you know, trying to do things that are not always the TV. Because I feel like in the wintertime, we watch a lot more TV than I like, or play a lot more, like, video games than I like. And it drives me crazy because I don't like that stuff, but in the wintertime in the Canadian prairies, I don't know what else you do for months on end in the house. So in the summertime, we turn our TV pretty much off and we just keep like our weather channel and our local for the news. And otherwise, cause we're just never in the house, but right now, yeah. And we've been reading. So, our youngest son, well, our only son, our youngest child, we finished reading Charlotte's Web, which he was really enjoying. So we finished reading Charlotte's Web. So we went and he picked out a new book, and he picked out The Jungle Book, actually. So, which is surprisingly one that I have never read before. So we're reading The Jungle Book. He's really enjoying it. So that's been fun. With our youngest daughter, I've been reading the Little House on the Prairie series. I think we're on like the, you know, 15th time we've read it, and we love it. So we are, I think, the third or fourth book in and enjoying it immensely. So, and my mom actually had the Little House on the Prairie. So the series, the original series is about Laura, and then my mom has ones that are about like Caroline and Martha and Charlotte, which are like the grandmas, so like Caroline's parents, so mom and that. So we're gonna, I think, finish reading this series about Laura, and then we're gonna go back and read about her family and how they got to where they are. So that's kind of exciting. So it'll stretch us out, and hopefully, you know, by the time we're done reading all these books, it'll be summertime and we can go outside and do some fun. So yeah, we've been doing that. And then I'm hoping in the next probably 2 weeks, I'm going to start some seeds, and I'm probably not so much like my tomatoes things, but like a lot of my herbs, I'm thinking. So I put in, I don't know, I think I told you guys, I put in my seed order. And so we had ordered all of our seeds and ordered a bunch of trees and plants and that sort of thing. So they sent the seeds, and of course they don't send your live plants until like May or April, end of April, beginning of May, or whenever your frost date is or whenever it's ready to plant. So those they didn't send, but they sent all of our seeds. So that was kind of nice. We organized them and looked. And so I think we're going to start some of our herbs. So like our lavender and our chamomile, maybe not our basil or any of those ones yet, because they're a little bit quicker one, and most of the time I just kind of plant them straight into the garden. But some of our other ones, like this year I added in fennel, and I am adding in some mullein. I'm gonna try and see how that does. So those are kind of some things that I'm gonna be working on. So I'm hoping that by getting my hands dirty and in the dirt and getting into some gardening a little bit, maybe it'll perk me up a bit and make me feel a little better, because this sitting in the house, I'm telling you. But yeah, so that is what we have been up to. And you know, I appreciate all the likes we've been getting on the podcast, so I hope that you guys have been enjoying it. I've been really enjoying doing it and sharing all our information with you and sharing what we've been doing. And yeah, like I said, if you have any questions or comments or ideas, please feel free to send them to us at homesteadtherapy@mail.com. And we will, you know, try and answer them for you. So I'm hoping to have a few guest people on in the next little bit here. I'm working on that. So that'll be some fun stuff. And, you know, got some other stuff hopefully we'll be doing. And once spring comes, I'm telling you, there'll be all sorts of cool, fun information. But thank you, everybody. And I hope you all have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. And God bless. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 6 of the Homestead Therapy Podcast. My name is Cindy, and I'm your host. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us. So we took a little extended break because our children had winter break. So they were all home last week. And so we just took the week off and really didn't do a whole lot. Not that we could do a lot because it was very cold. But yeah, just spent time with the kids and, you know, did some family stuff, had some good meals, and did some fun activities. We played some board games and watched some movies, and we did go outside a little bit, but it was pretty cold, so we weren't outside for a long time. And Colin took the kids fishing one day, so that was exciting. They have never, ever been ice fishing. Well, fish, I shouldn't say any of them. Mason has never been, so our youngest has never been fishing at all. All of the girls have been fishing, but never ice fishing. So, we were invited by friends of ours to go down to their ice fishing shack and, take the kids fishing for the day. So I ended up staying home because I was feeling a little under the weather. I was having a little, bad day with my liver. So me and my sickly liver, we stayed home and just relaxed on the couch and read a book and had a nap and just kind of chilled out. But the kids and Colin had a blast. So they went and got to have the whole ice fishing experience. Colin, of course, didn't fish. He just helped the kids. But that was okay, because when you have three small children trying to fish, I think you need to just not fish. So the girls didn't fish at all, very much, or if not at all, I don't think. They were just hanging out with friends. But Mason had an absolute blast. He was so proud of himself. So he's never been fishing at all, and he caught his first fish, and oh my goodness, I was so excited that Emily, our oldest, she was quick enough to videotape it and send it to me, and the look on his little face, y'all, he was so excited about his fish. Unfortunately, where they went fishing, you can keep the fish, but you can't eat them. They're not really good for human consumption. So he did, however, bring his fish home to show his mama, and he, you know, cut it all up and fed it to his kitty. And he was so excited that he got to do that. So we have decided that we're definitely going to have to be doing some fishing this year. We had already kind of planned on it, because with my liver disease, one of the things I can eat a lot of is fish. So we go through a lot of fish. So fish and chicken. And so we'd always like to buy it in the store because you never know what you're getting again, right? And, you know, there's fresh fish is just better. So we'd already decided we're going to go up north where there's some really good fishing for, you know, I think there's like lake trout and some like pickerel and all that sort of thing. So we're going to go and try and get some fish this year. So, and that's a definite must now that Mason has the fishing bug. So that is our plan. You may be hearing some noise in the background, and so I thought maybe I should address that next. So we have a little goat in the house. That's right. We got our first goat kid about 4 or 5 days ago now. Lucky made his appearance. And so I had gone out and done night check about 10 o'clock, and nobody was really doing anything. Everybody was eating and just laying there, and everybody looked fine. So I thought, okay, that's perfect. Colin had taken the two older girls out for the evening for supper and for you know, some daddy girl time. And so he did that, and then he had dropped them off at my parents', and then he had gone to his friend's place to play some cards or whatever, you know, men do. For a bit. So I had phoned him and said, you know, since you're going to be out anyway, when you get home, do you want to just do a quick goat check? Just check on everybody, make sure nothing, you know, nothing's wrong and that everybody's doing okay. So he, of course, you know, has no problem. So It was about 1:30 in the morning, and I got my phone's ringing, and of course I'm sleeping. And I get this phone call, and I pick up the phone, and all I can hear is him all out of breath and talking and going, "Come on, baby, breathe. It's okay. Come on, baby." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." So he gets on the phone. He had been giving mouth to mouth to this baby goat because when he got out there, she had been having it for a little while. And of course, it was really, really, really cold. But it was stuck. So one of its legs was kind of back and twisted and whatever. And so he, you know, did what he needed to do, got it out. But because it had been out partway for, we're not sure how long, its head was really swollen and it was in rough shape. So he scooped it up, brought it to the house, brought it in, and we, you know, got him all breathing fine and everything. He couldn't eat very well because his whole face was so swollen that even like his mouth and his lips and everything. So we were syringe feeding him, you know, had him all toasty and stuff. And we didn't think he was going to make that first night actually. And woke up in the morning and praise God, he was all curled up in a little ball and good to, you know, raring to go. He was a little bit weak. Took him a couple of days to get, you know, perked back up and to 100%. And he's doing much better now. But of course, because he's been in the house for as long as he has, his mama just does not want him. We've tried, and she's not interested. So he'll be, getting sold as a bottle baby. So, but currently he's in the house because before we sell bottle babies, we like to make sure that they are feeding well and, you know, healthy and nothing wrong with them. And so, yeah, so he's been in the house. So we have been bottle feeding him. So we go out, milk his mama twice a day, make sure she's doing good. You know, when we do chores, and then bring the milk in and feed him. So he is definitely, a going concern. He has got lots of energy and is like jumping around. So we have a playpen in our living room with him in it. So if you hear that noise, that's him just trying to jump out of the playpen. So he has been fed, but he still thinks he should, you know, jump around and make some noise. So you might hear some little baby goat noises, but there's nothing cuter than that, I don't think. So yeah. So that's some new stuff. So we have him born. So that's one down. We have 5 more mamas to go. We have one that is close. I'm thinking probably like, you know, within the next week, I'm thinking we should hope to see something. She's pretty wide. So we actually, if you follow us on Instagram, Homestead Therapy on Instagram there, we put up a picture and said, anybody want to take a guess at how many babies Daphne's hiding? Because she has a big old belly. She is very, very wide. So I don't know how many babies are in there. Last year she had one baby. This year it is definitely more than one. I'm thinking two. I'm hoping only two, because sometimes when you have three, they, you know, they have a little harder time trying to feed three babies, but hopefully, you know, everything is good and we have some babies here soon. But the most exciting part is, of course, with all these babies, that means we get goat's milk, and goat's milk means we get cheese. Oh, so exciting. Love our fresh milk. So yeah, so those babies are being born. We were hoping that they would have held off and not had any until, you know, this week, when it's definitely warmed up. So it was cold for like 6 weeks straight, like frigid, terribly bone chilling cold for 6 weeks. Like, I think the warmest it got up to was minus 27. And that was like an oddity. The rest of the time it was in the minus 40s. It was just cold. So this week we are so much warmer. I think like today is like plus or minus 10. Sorry, plus. I wish it was plus. Minus 10-ish. And even they're talking next week, but the beginning of next week it's actually supposed to be up to like plus 2, I think. So, oh, yay. So that is super exciting. So if anybody wants to have their babies now, I'd be okay with that because it is definitely warmer. We haven't got all of the kidding pens made in the goat shed, but we're working on it. But of course, Colin hurt his back. So he has been kind of, you know, not able to do a whole lot for the last like 3 weeks. He really did a number on his back. So he's been just kind of taking it easy. He's definitely feeling better now, able to do some stuff. You know, but it was pretty bad. This little goat's just going crazy over here. It was pretty bad though. So we didn't get the stuff done that we wanted to, but thankfully nobody else had babies, but Hopefully we'll get that finished in the next day or so here, and then we'll be good to go. But I have to tell you, I moved my milk stand and most of my milk stuff, or my milk, my goat stuff, into the new goat barn. And oh my goodness, I am loving it. It is beautiful. It is bright and sunny and warm, and it's just, oh, it's so nice. It's so nice, and it's convenient, and I just love it. So I have to give a huge, huge thank you to my husband and my father-in-law for all their work they did on the goat shed. I mean, of course I helped, but I am not a builder. And so they did all the like hard parts. I handed screws and, you know, I did screw a few things in, but they did all the like measuring and cutting and stuff, because it would look like a Dr. Seuss house if I did it. But it's beautiful. I love it. It works really well. It functions well, and it's amazing. So I am thrilled with that. So yeah, so we got all the goat stuff moved in there. So that's good. It's been a busy, busy week around here. You know, last week at the kids' home, it was slow, but this week we've really kind of just, we've made up for that, slow week. So this week, oh my goodness, where do I start? So we had the baby goat. I tore apart the kitchen, which was not really in the plans, but it was. So we had always planned on, pulling down all the drywall, re-insulating the kitchen, flipping the kitchen around. So our house was built in the 60s, and so it's very blocky. And so like the living room is one room, the kitchen is one room, there's walls everywhere. And so there's not a lot of airflow, which kind of sucks. And also, you know, when you're a homesteader, you spend a lot of time in the kitchen. So especially canning time, and you know, for baking and all that, like I spend a lot of time in the kitchen, and I always feel like I'm just kind of hanging out in the kitchen alone, which is kind of sucky. So we had always wanted to flip our kitchen around, because right now my sink and my cupboards are on against my interior wall. And so when Colin's grandparents built this house, grandma had wanted the kitchen to be the other way. So she had wanted her sink under the window. And for whatever reason, when they built the house, they didn't put her sink under the window. So the sink and the kitchen cupboards and everything faces an interior wall. Now it's, I don't know why, because I'm telling you, it is so nice to be, you know, doing dishes or whatever and looking out the window, get some sunshine. It's just so much nicer. But I mean, there must have been a reason for it, right? So we are going to flip the kitchen around, put the sink under the window, which I'm super excited about. And then take out this big interior wall between the living room and the kitchen and open this all up to one big room. So we're hoping that by doing that, a couple things. It will help with the airflow, obviously, because we have the wood stove in our living room. And so when we burn wood in the wood stove, it gets so nice and toasty in here. And even down the hallway, because we have fans that blow the air down the hallway to the bedrooms. And so even down the bedrooms gets pretty warm, but the kitchen is so cold because it is, you know, the air doesn't go around the corner, and it gets no heat from the wood stove. It is crazy cold in there. So opening up the window or the wall should hopefully help with that. So we'll have the wood stove and it'll just be one big room, so keep the kitchen warm, but also it'll just make it so much bigger and brighter in here, I think. Make our house flow a little better and not feel quite so boxy. And I'm just really, like I said, super excited to have the sink under the window. So because I pulled out that drywall, which I was not planning on doing, I was kind of cleaning and it just kind of happened. but I pulled out the drywall, and it actually ended up being a really good thing that we did, because when I pulled out the drywall and the insulation, because of course Colin was not feeling well, so he was relaxing his back, and I just was like, hey, you know what, it'll be fun. I'm going to pull out this wall. Anyway, so I did all that, but when I pulled out the insulation and the drywall, there was mold, and it was actually pretty wet. So, and there was like 2 inches of frost in places on the wall, outside wall. So we cleaned that all up, sprayed it down, killed the mold, and then re-insulated, re-drywalled, or vapor barriered, and then drywalled, and oh my goodness, it is warmer in there just with that alone. So we started with that. So now that all the drywall is taken out, now is the fun part. Where we are building new cabinets. So, and by we, I mean Colin. I'm mostly watching. Because again, that whole building thing. But he is building me cupboards. So we're going to do just cupboards at the bottom and open shelving at the top. So I'm excited about that. And he's making them. They're so strong. They're like, I swear, a hurricane could go through the house and the cupboards will still be standing. But he's making them nice and tall, which I'm really excited about as well, because we are tall people, okay? All right, so now that we have the drywall and the insulation done on the one wall, now we can start working on the other fun stuff, which is the cabinet building. So we had debated on whether we were going to buy cabinets or make our own. And we decided to go with making our own for a couple of reasons. So one of the reasons being we're very tall. So Colin is 6'4" and I'm almost 6', like a hair under. And so we needed our cupboards to be a little taller. Also, our house is not square at all. The walls are not square. The floor is not square. I'm sure when they built the house and this whole thing started, the house was square. It is not square anymore. So to try and take something that's already built and make it fit into a not square room, we thought was going to be very tricky. The other thing was our window's really big. There was just a lot of little things that we thought it would just be easier to make our own. And we could customize them better that way, right? So we have started building the cabinets. Colin has done a fantastic job. They're going to be beautiful. We're doing just cupboards at the bottom. The top is going to be open with just shelves. We picked up a sink yesterday. So yeah, we've been looking for a farmhouse sink. So I've always wanted a farmhouse sink for two reasons. I shouldn't say always. Since we moved in here, I've wanted a farmhouse sink for two reasons. One, I really like the look of a farmhouse sink. And two, because they're nice and big. The sink we have now is, you know, your standard sink, which is fine for certain things. However, when you are washing copious amounts of produce, when you are washing very large stock pots, very large bread bowls, you know, everything we have, we do usually in large scale, and it does not fit in my sink. So I cannot wash those things in my sink, which makes life really difficult. So I wanted a nice big sink. I also did not want stainless steel. I wanted white or maybe a granite. Well, we could not find actually even a farmhouse sink, never mind one that was not stainless steel. So we found one yesterday. It was stainless steel. I didn't like it. It was just very boxy and was not my favorite. I also didn't realize how expensive sinks are. I thought, like, you know, ooh, let's go take a couple $100. We'll get us a sink. No. They are ridiculously expensive. However, yesterday we found a sink that I'm happy with. It's not a farmhouse sink, but I'm okay with that because it is massive, y'all. It is huge. I could, like, fit a small child in this sink, and I'm super excited because I'm going to actually be able to wash my stock pots in the sink, which is beyond exciting to me. Also a little sad that I'm really excited about this huge sink. Anyway, we got the sink. So now Colin can start building the cabinets because we needed the sink because he needs to build the cabinet because my dad is coming tomorrow to do some wiring and hang up lights and different fixtures for us. Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 5 of the Homestead Therapy Podcast. My name is Cindy and I'm your host. So welcome back everybody. I know it's been a super long time since we put out a podcast, but things got a little bit crazy around here and I just haven't had a chance to sit down and actually talk to you guys. So it was really cold and I got a little cabin fever and I tore out a wall in the kitchen. And so that led to more walls being tore out in the kitchen and new insulation and new drywall. And then Colin built me new cupboards. And so our house was a disaster. We had no kitchen for probably a good 2 weeks there, I want to say. And it took a long time to get it back together. Well, I guess it actually wasn't too bad, but it felt like a long time. So I'm loving the new kitchen, though. Before we did the kitchen, my sink was up against the inside wall. So we had a wall between our living room and our kitchen. And the kitchen always felt real cold because the air couldn't get into it. And when we had the wood stove going, which was in the living room, none of the heat came into the kitchen. So it was always really cold and drafty. And then we noticed some mold on the wall, the north wall, that was a little bit scary because it was kind of that fuzzy black stuff. So we just decided that maybe we should just, you know, jump in and do it. So, yeah, we tore out the old drywall and old insulation, and it was nasty, you guys. Like, we had mold and frost and bugs, and it was awful. So I'm really glad we did it because this kitchen is so much warmer already. So we did that. We moved the sink underneath the window. I got a beautiful, big, huge one basin sink, which I'm super excited about because we do a lot of large stuff. So like my canner and my, you know, my big stock pot and just like my big pails for milking and all that sort of stuff. None of that ever fit in my sink. Even, you know, when it comes to the garden and washing all that produce, none of that, like it took so long because my sink was so small. So we bought this ginormous, like, pretty sure the kids could use it as a bathtub sink that is absolutely beautiful. My pots all fit in it. My big buckets all fit in it. It is great. And I can't wait to wash some produce in it. So I'm very excited about that. And it's so nice to do dishes at the sink when it is under the window and I can look out and, you know, see the sun and the trees and the kids playing in the backyard. And I'm telling you, dishes are almost enjoyable. I mean, nobody really actually enjoys dishes, but it's close. They're pretty enjoyable now. So yeah, we did that. We built all of our own, and by we, I mean Colin, by the way, built all our own cupboards. And so we just have lower cupboards now. So we didn't put any uppers. We just did open shelves on the top and it is fantastic. And if you want to see pictures, actually, you can pop over to our Instagram and check it out because I've been posting pictures there. And Colin did an absolutely beautiful job. So he built all the lower cabinets. He built my countertop. The countertop is gorgeous. He did fir boards and then burnt them and sanded them down. So it brought out all the wood grain. And then he put this, it's a resin that's for tabletops and counters and bars and that sort of thing. So he put that over top to seal it and to make it, you know, more tough. And it's supposed to be heat resistant and you know, good for that sort of thing. And it is absolutely beautiful. I absolutely love them. It's one of a kind. And yeah, nobody has a kitchen like mine, which I'm okay with. So that, and then we got rid of the table. Instead of a table now, we have a giant island. So he built me huge island, which half of it underneath is storage. So we measured it and made it big enough that my big bins of flour and sugar and cornstarch and all that sort of thing would fit underneath. So they fit under there perfectly. And then the other half is just open and he built legs. So it's like the table portion. So we got some stools and we can sit at the bar, the island now. And it's absolutely beautiful. We can sit at the island. It's so bright and warm. You know, like even right now, we've got the wood stove going because it's a little chilly today and I'm trying to make bread. And it's so warm in the kitchen now. And it's so nice to, you know, be in the kitchen working. Anybody who spends a lot of time in the kitchen knows that you always feel like you're kind of, you know, secluded from everybody else. So this is really nice that I can be in the kitchen doing stuff and, you know, still having conversations with everybody in the living room and visiting, or, you know, if we happen to be watching a TV show, I can, you know, still be doing that and they don't have to wait for me. It's really nice. So as much as it was a huge, huge project, I'm really, really glad we did it. It's beautiful. So thank you to my lovely husband who was a little bit nervous and has said I'm no longer allowed to tear down walls for a while. We have to take a break. So I'm okay with that, though, because this was the big project. The next project is the bathroom, but we're going to hold off on that. So that was super busy. So I didn't have much chance to do anything because my house was chaos. Everything from my kitchen was in my bedroom and in the living room and all over the place. And so I didn't even have a space to sit and actually do the podcast. So it's pretty much done now. We've got a few things left to do, little things. We've got to do something with the floor. We haven't decided yet. A few more shelves to put in. And I think then we're in a little bit of trim and we're done. So all in all, though, it's really great. So that, then we started kidding. So the goat started kidding. We ended up having, we have 6 does, and we had 5 of them freshen. One of them is still has to have her baby yet, but she's going to be a little while. So really out of 4 does, we had 8 babies. So one unfortunately didn't make it. And one we ended up selling as a bottle baby because he just had a bit of a tough delivery and his mom was a first time mom and didn't really want him. So we sold him as a bottle baby and he's gone to his new home. And now we're just milking her. So we milk everybody kind of once a week when they have babies on them, just to check their udder, make sure nobody's getting an infection or, you know, getting sick or has anything going on. But Fiona, that's the one who had the baby, we milk her twice a day, which is fantastic because we have goat's milk again. And goat's milk means goat cheese. So we're all super excited because we love goat cheese. We eat a lot of goat cheese. So I actually just made our first batch here yesterday. And I made just a plain goat cheese because I like to use just the plain one on in our lasagnas and that sort of thing. But then I made a garlic dill goat cheese. And oh my goodness, you guys, it is so good on crackers. It's delicious. So that's been really nice. We're really enjoying that. So Maggie has not had a baby yet. That's our milk cow. So there's still no baby calf there. But our beef herd has started calving. So we've been busy with that, doing night checks, getting up early in the morning to check. Well, not really getting up early. I'm up at 6 anyway, but going out earlier to check on them. And then we go late at night to check. We kind of alternate between Colin and myself and his dad. So we take turns who gets to go out at night and who gets to go to bed early. So it works out pretty good. We divide and conquer. And so far we're up to, I think we have 8 calves now. Eclipse, our other milk cow, still no baby from her, but she's pretty close. So I'm actually kind of glad that Maggie didn't have her calf yet, because Eclipse is going to need to be broke to milk. And so I think if I would have had Maggie also in milk and trying to milk her and train Eclipse, it might have been a little overwhelming between that and milking goats and everything like that. So this gives me a chance. Eclipse, I'm hoping, she looks like probably within the next week or so we should have a baby from her. And then we'll be training her to milk. And then by the time Maggie has her baby, Eclipse should be trained really well and will be on a roll. And then we'll be milking. And so we'll have lots of milk, which is great because I so miss like butter and goat or cow's milk and cheese and everything, you know, cream and all of that. I'm just so looking forward to having milk because right now we're buying our milk and it is so expensive in the store and it just doesn't taste the same. So we're really looking forward to that. So yeah, we're doing that. And then we started some seeds and I should say we started a lot of seeds. I kind of went a little overboard maybe in the seed starting department, if that is even a possibility. So I think I've got 97 tomato plants planted. Of course, they're not all the same variety, which nobody seems to understand. They all say, why do you have so many tomatoes? It's because I found all these fantastic different kinds of seeds and I had to try them all. And, you know, we've got the CSA going this year and we're going to use them. But, you know, Colin tried to tell me that just because you have the seeds doesn't mean you need to plant the seeds. And clearly he's wrong because, I mean, you have them. That's what they're for. You have to plant them. So, yeah, every time I've found a new batch of tomato seeds or something I want to try, I just put them all in. So we're going to have a lot of tomatoes, so which will be good because we do make a lot of our tomato stuff, and like I said, we'll have the CSA, so it'll be fine. I don't know why he's panicking. I think we're gonna be just fine. So we're gonna have a lot of those. And started some herbs. We started a few peppers. We started some of our cauliflower and broccoli and cabbage and have them started. What else did we start? I'm trying to think. Peppers and today. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for now. I'm hoping to start next week, probably. I'm going to start like some of our zucchinis and, you know, squashes and that sort of thing, but not till the end of next week because they need a little bit more heat and they grow pretty fast. So I might even wait another couple weeks. So we had everything in the house and it was chaos because, like I said, the kitchen was tore apart. I had our little greenhouse set up by the window with the light and seeds going, and you couldn't even walk in here. It was craziness. So yesterday I finally moved everything out to our actual greenhouse. We got it all set up and we got a little heater going in there to keep the cool off at night, because of course the daytime is fine, it's nice and warm in there, but at night it does get a little bit cool. So we put a little heater in there, so that should help to keep the cool away. And last night everything did okay and looks fine. So yeah, so everything's moved out there, which is kind of nice. It gives us our kind of our living room back. So now that everything's pretty much put away in the kitchen, the seeds are all gone, and all our little plant starts are gone outside. We have kind of the house is looking back to normal again. So we did that, and then we've been tapping our maple trees. It finally got warm enough that we could tap the maple trees. So I think I talked in one of our previous podcasts about how I'd ordered a new kind of spile for tapping the maple trees. So normally what we used to use, or still kind of do, are the kind of spiles that you tap into the tree and then you hang a bucket from them, which was great, except for even with a lid on them, there was still lots of stuff got into them, you know, little bugs and that sort of thing, which I guess is not the end of the world, but I thought, you know, there's got to be a better way. And you need a lot of buckets, because each little tap has to have a bucket. So what we did was we ordered the spiles that you tap in, and they actually have a hose, and then you run the hose into a bucket. So we need less buckets because, of course, we run, you know, two or three or four hoses into one bucket, and then we don't need to, you know, worry about bugs and stuff, because we just kind of poked a hole in the top of the bucket and put all the hoses in there. So there's really no room for anything to get in. So it's kept the sap a whole lot cleaner. And it's really helped with, you know, not needing to have as many buckets, so not emptying as much and that sort of thing. So it's worked out really well. I've actually really happy with it. And we'd only ordered a little, like a few to try this year, and I'm definitely going to be ordering more for next year, because it's really been really good. I actually have a big pot of sap boiling on the stove today, so that's one of the things I'm working on, and it's boiling away there. I was going to do it outside, but because I need the house to be warm and all that anyway, because I'm making bread, I thought, I'll just do it in the house. And it's definitely moist in here, which is kind of good, because it's been so dry, because it's been so cold. We've been using the wood stove a lot, and so the house has been really dry, so I thought we could definitely use the little moisture, so that's cool. I've already made one batch of maple syrup, like caramel. So with our first batch, I boiled it down a little extra and made like a caramel sauce, and we had it on some ice cream, and it was really, really good. So this stuff will just be syrup, though. We didn't have a big batch the first time, so I figured we'd just make a treat out of it. So did that. The chickens are back to laying eggs. Hallelujah, y'all, because let me tell you, 2 eggs a day for 7 people is just not nearly enough. So we are super, super excited that we are getting eggs again. So we're up to between 17 and 23 eggs a day, and we have 31 hens left. 31 hens left, I think, or 32, so somewhere in there. And I think, you know, part of the reason they're laying so well is that it's warmed up and the weather's nicer. It's lighter out earlier and it stays light later. But we also started letting them out to free range in the afternoon, and they are so happy. Mabel, our little free range chicken who refused to be locked in last year at all. So when the foxes and the raccoons started taking all our chickens, we actually ended up locking them into like a chicken tractor, and she would not stay in. Like, we'd open it up to feed and she'd escape, and then she wouldn't come back in, and she just would not stay in. And somehow she stayed alive all summer. She hid and had egg, like a little clutch of eggs that we ended up finding when we tore down an old shed. And she stayed alive. She made the whole winter. And then when it got cold, she came right back into the barn, into the chicken coop, and was happy for the winter. And now, let me tell you, you have never seen such a happy chicken as Mabel. When we let them out for the first time, oh my goodness, I'm pretty sure, like, she was chattering and scratching and pecking and running around, and like, it was hilarious. She was so happy to be free again. So yeah, they're really enjoying that, and I'm really enjoying the dark yellow yolks that come with having your chickens free ranging and eating grass and outside, because they're just so good. So yeah, we're back to chicken eggs again, lots of chicken eggs. So I've got a whole lot I'm going to try, actually, one of the people I follow on YouTube, they did water glassing of their eggs so that they had them for the winter when the chickens didn't lay as much. And so I've kind of heard of it, but I've never actually seen it done. And they, you know, showed how they did it. And then she actually showed what the eggs looked like, you know, 8 months later. And they turned out pretty good. So I'm thinking that we might try that because we don't like to force our chickens to lay. You know, we do give them a little bit of artificial light for an hour or two in the morning, but we don't like leave the light on all the time and, you know, force them to lay or anything like that. We just let them do their natural cycle. But that just means that we have no eggs or fewer eggs and have to buy, which is really not cool. So I'm going to try this water glassing of the eggs and see how it works. So because we have so many right now, I'm thinking now's the time to start stocking up, and then once winter comes we should be good to go. So that's gonna be fun. The ducks and turkeys are even starting to lay now, which is Colin is thrilled, because I don't mind the duck eggs for baking, like I use them for baking, but I find them really rich for actually just eating. But Colin is in love with duck eggs. Those are his favorite. So we have two ducks left after the fox and the chick and the raccoons took all our animals. So we have two left, and he's getting two duck eggs a day, which is perfect for him because that's his breakfast every day is two duck eggs. So he's super excited about that. The turkeys just started laying, and now I know nothing about turkeys. We tried raising turkeys from little babies, and they all died, so we just gave up. But, you know, Tom and Letitia and Blanche, our turkeys, were given to us full-grown by a friend because she just, you know, didn't want them anymore. So we took them, and they're doing great, but I know nothing about turkeys. So if anybody knows how to, you know, what kind of nesting the turkeys need to lay eggs or to set, because I would like them to sit and hatch eggs, which they did last year for her, so they should do it again, I'm thinking, but I have no idea what they need. So if anybody knows, you can send us a message on Facebook, you can send us a message on Instagram, or you can email us at homesteadtherapy@mail.com and let us know what we do with the turkeys, because this is very new to us. Also, like, do you eat turkey eggs? I don't even know. I've no experience with turkey eggs. So we're getting turkey eggs, and I've been keeping them because I'm actually toying with the idea of setting the incubator, but shh, don't tell Colin, because he's like, it's too early. We're going to have the baby chicks in the house. But you know, spring is here and I just have all these eggs and I just keep thinking we should set some eggs. But anyway, so I'm thinking I might put them in the incubator, but otherwise, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure you can eat them, but I've never done it. So if anybody has any experience with turkey eggs or turkeys laying eggs or turkey nesting, please send us a message. Let us know. Give us some tips, because we are totally no idea what we're doing. So the kids have been crazy busy. It is that time of year where it feels like there is something every day after school. We are running every day to pick somebody up from some extracurricular activity, which is great because, you know, they've been cooped up all winter and bored. So this is great, but it's a lot of running. Oh my goodness. So they've been busy with drama and archery and band and drama. They actually have a big, competition thing coming up next weekend. Both the little girls are in that. They're in two separate plays, and so there's like different schools coming to their school, and it's a whole weekend of thing, and they compete. So they're very excited, and they've been working super super hard, and we're very proud of them. But it'll be kind of nice when it's all over and we can just relax, because oh my goodness, it's like every day. And last thing is we ordered our chicks. We've ordered all our meat chicks. We ordered 300 meat birds, and we ordered, what did we order? I think we ended up ordering 50 laying hens, but some of those are going to my brother and sister-in-law's place. So we kind of put our order together, and a few of the meat birds are going to them as well. But we need about between 60 and 80 for ourselves, and then the rest will be for sale through our CSA program that we're starting up. So, and of course, you always have to account for, you know, the ones that you lose and, you know, the ones that, you know, die or whatever, or the fox eats in our case, because that seems to be how things happen for us is something eats them. So we ordered a lot, but we should be getting those. I think I ordered them for the middle of May last year. I think I got chicks the middle of April, and it still was kind of cold. And so we had to really baby them, and we lost a few and a few more than usual. So this year we decided to get them a little later. And hopefully they'll do better and won't need quite as much heat. So, you know, we'll have the heat for a little bit, but hopefully it'll be okay. And Paris totally just ran through my garden, which, by the way, I can see again, you guys. There's still snow on half of my garden, but I can see half of it, so that's super exciting. All right, so that is what we've been up to. It's been a lot, and that was a lot, I know, but we've been, you know, gone for a few weeks, and so I wanted to give you guys a little lowdown of what's been happening. So what we're got coming up and things we're going to be working on is pen cleaning, everybody's favorite spring chore. Not really. So all those pens, the goat pens in the new goat barn, the calf pens, the cow pens, the chicken pens, everything needs to have its spring clean. So we clean all the poop and bedding and everything out, usually put it on our compost, or we put it out on our hay field for fertilizer for the hay. And then what I like to do is I take diatomaceous earth, the food grade stuff, and I sprinkle it all over the place, and it just helps to get rid of any creepy curlies or little bugs, or, you know, if they get lice or anything like that. And then we just leave everything open and let it all air out and clean out that way, because they won't need to be sleeping inside anymore. Like, the goats will still come in if it rains for a little bit, but they'll be going out on pasture hopefully before too long. You know, the chickens, they only come in at night, so they won't be getting so dirty. The turkeys and ducks, they're a little different. Their pen, we'll clean it all up, but they're going to be in there for a little bit until we come up with some sort of a pen for the ducks. We want to try and come up with a pen for the ducks that has like a pond with a filter system. And we want to try and throw some tilapia in there, I think, because I was doing some research and tilapia will kind of clean the water, help clean the water. And so the ducks will, you know, be able to splash around and have fun, but the tilapia will kind of keep it clean. And then we can eat the tilapia, which is nice. And we don't have to like forever be changing the water, because it's really dry already. And they're calling for another really dry year. And so we're trying to conserve water and think of ways that we can, you know, save some water. So we're thinking if we just put like a pond, fill it up and leave it that way, that hopefully that will save on some water there. So we're going to be doing some more seed starts. Like I said, I've got some of those, you know, pumpkins and squash and that sort of thing that'll be started in the next few weeks. We're going to be working on the food forest in the orchard. So we ordered all those, all sorts of plants. I ordered, like, you know, I think on the last podcast I told you guys I ordered a bunch of strawberries and raspberries and other berries. So they'll be going in. And then we decided on the south side of our house, it's kind of like this spot that, you know, it's kind of grass, but the grass doesn't really grow because it's really hot. And so it's more weed and dirt, and it's kind of a space that, you know, nothing is there, and it's hard to cut the grass there. And so we've decided we're going to turn that into kind of like a little food forest garden area. We're going to put some of our heat loving plants, like maybe we're going to put some like grapes and things in there. And you know, some of the other plants that enjoy heat. So some of our heat-loving herbs and that sort of thing. So we're going to move some of our herb boxes, I think, around there. And just maybe mulch it instead of having grass, mulch it, or put maybe some pea gravel down or something, so we don't have to worry about trying to cut grass there. And then we don't have to worry about all those big weeds growing and the dirt and muck that ends up when it rains. So we're going to work on that side. We're going to work on amending the garden. I got some really good tips from some of you. Thank you very much from some of the people that I did a little video of our garden and asked for tips for, you know, what you guys do to bulk up your garden. And so we're going to, you know, do that, because our garden is pretty good, but I got an actual soil test kit this year. So I'm going to do a test on the soil and just see what it needs so that we have a better idea. So we've never done a soil test before. I've always thought about doing it, but we've never done it. And we've just kind of wung it and been like, oh, I think this is what it needs, and thrown that out there. But this year we're going to actually do a test, see what we need, and then put that out there. Because we want to have, because we have the CSA, so we need to have, you know, good yields and that sort of thing. We thought it would be better to actually know what we need to put out there instead of just trying to guess. So we're doing that. And then Once we get all the garden in, we've decided we're going to mulch this year. So we're going to mulch the heck out of it with straw. And then we're going to put drip tape along because, like I said, we're worried about water and moisture. So I know the mulch will help hold the moisture in. The drip tape will be good. We have a big tank that we can haul the water from one of the big sloughs that we have out back that it'll be years before it dries up because it's like 14 feet deep. So we can haul water from there and then put it, hook it up to the drip tape, let it go. And then the mulch should hold the moisture in there. So then we don't have to water nearly as much because last year we kind of did a little experiment. So we mulched all of our new strawberries. And then we didn't mulch the rest of the garden. And so I didn't have to weed as much in the strawberries. I mean, there were still some weeds, but not nearly as bad. And to every 3 times we watered the rest of the garden that wasn't mulch, we watered the strawberries. So it was like 1 time every 3 times. So it definitely held more moisture. And so that's something that we're going to do with the rest of the garden to help to not need so much water. So we're doing that and then work on some new chicken tractors. So because we have so many meat birds coming, normally we would just let them free range, but we are not letting free ranging happen once spring gets here because we've already seen a fox. So we're like super watching the chickens right now that are out. But we don't want to just let the meat chickens go because we don't want them to be fox food and, you know, lose all that money like we did last year. So we're coming up with some different chicken tractor ideas for the meat birds so that they can go out and be on pasture because they just taste better and it's better for them and they're happier that way. So I think we kind of have, you know, some different ideas we're playing with, but we're going to work on those and see what we think is going to work best because of course there's a lot of them and we need to be able to move it often. And so we're going to work on that. So that's kind of what we have coming up. I'm sure there'll be more because you know how it is. It's the busy time of the year. So we are got stuff going all over the place and, you know, everybody's running everywhere and trying to get stuff ready for seeding and planting and gardening and, you know, cleaning everything up from the winter. So that is our plans. So today I've got bone broth going and I've got maple syrup going and I've got bread I'm baking and I'm just running around trying to get laundry done, but I wanted to sit down and talk to y'all and say hello because it's been so long and I've missed talking to y'all. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for sticking with us. And I promise I'm going to try really hard to do the once a week podcast. We also are looking at starting up a little YouTube channel because I know some things it's nice to actually show you a video of and show you and just, you know, how to do something with a visual aid as opposed to just talking about it. So watch for that. We've got the website is, by the way, the website is 99% done. So we had just no time with the kitchen and everything, so I haven't even worked on it. But the last couple days I've been working on it and I have it just about ready to go. So that will be launched. So I will do a podcast and let you guys know when that's all ready. But other than that, that is what we've been up to. Thank you again for sticking with us, everybody. And we will see you next week. And have a wonderful day. God bless. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 6 of the Homestead Therapy Podcast. My name is Cindy, and I'm your host.